So I want to get started here with what we're going to be covering here this morning. And as always, I want to have just a short review. We are in the third use of Columbo, which is to go on the offensive in an inoffensive way. We'll get to that in a minute. So we're doing this the study here with tactics. Lee asked about it, so I'll just say it for the sake of order. The curriculum and the stuff that we're using is tactics, a game plan for discussing your Christian convictions. And this was based on a book written by Gregory Kukul in 2009. Okay, so a few disclaimers again. Mr. Kukul is not a rightly dividing mid-acts Pauline dispensationalist. He's not. He does not necessarily have the same stance that we have on the Bible or the King James. So I am taking this and tweaking it. Okay, I'm sort of massaging it for our purposes here in this particular assembly. Okay, and he started off talking about the difference between strategy and tactics. And the idea behind this is to move from content, move from doctrine to conversation and engaging people around that doctrine. So the move here is from content to conversation. And the primary game plan that he identifies in the book is called the Columbo tactic. Okay? And there's three different parts to it. The first one is to gather information. The base question for phase one or Columbo tactic one is, what do you mean by that? And that will reveal to you what somebody thinks. Okay? What is it that they're thinking? Then you move on into step two of Columbo, and it's to reverse the burden of proof. And the question here is, how did you come to that conclusion? And in this phase, you will reveal how they think. Okay? Here it's what they think. Here it's how are they thinking. How are they reasoning to the conclusions that they're reasoning to. All right? And this is supposed to be a star here to highlight this. The guideline that he gives for the burden of proof is simply whoever makes the claim bears the burden. So if I'm going to claim some crazy thing, then it's my job. I bear the burden of supporting that, right? So if you're dealing with somebody and they say something like, you know, you can only be justified by keeping the Catholic sacraments, okay? Are they making a claim? All right, so it would be their burden then, according to the rule set forth, the principle set forth in the tactical approach, that since they're the one making the claim, they bear the burden, therefore, of proving that claim. Okay. He also warns against the words, I can explain that, that's going to equal story time. Okay. It's not your job to refute every story that somebody is going to present to you. And then where we got to last Sunday is the third use of Columbo, which is to go on the offensive in an inoffensive way, and I should add, using questions, okay? Using questions to go on the offensive in an inoffensive way. So, what these questions, and there's two uses here that we need to talk about, okay? The first one we looked at last week, which is to advance your own point of view. In other words, to lead somebody down a trail or a process of questioning that will conclude with what you believe the truth to be. Okay? Now, that's the one we looked at last time. We spent the bulk of our time together last week in our study, looking at this use here, to advance your own point of view. Now, the thing about that is you have to know what you're doing. You have to know where you're going. You have to know the material. You have to be able to walk somebody down that train of thought to lead them to where you want them to be as far as the conclusion goes, right? So he talked also about getting the person to affirm the pieces, right? And he showed you some strategies in the video last week about how you can use questioning to establish immediate agreeance on certain things, okay? And if you can get them to affirm the pieces of your argument on their own, that's better than you having to tell it to them, right? If they can affirm those, if they can agree to those on their own, that's better, okay? And then the second use of Columbo to lead the way is what we're going to start looking at now, which is using questions to exploit a weakness or a flaw in what somebody else is saying, okay? Using questions to expose a weakness or a flaw in what somebody else is saying. For example, okay, you might encounter a Campbellite who will say to you that you have to be water baptized in order to be saved. Okay? And they'll go to Romans 6 and they'll say, see, baptism, and they'll make the argument that unless you're water baptized, you're not saved, right? So you might, I'm just using that as an example of how you might be able to use some questioning to exploit the flaws in that reasoning that that person is demonstrating. Okay? So that's not the example he's going to use. He's going to use a different one. But I'm just saying that there's two ways to use Columbo to go on the offensive in an inoffensive way. The first one is to advance your own point of view, and then the second one is to exploit a weakness or flaw. Okay? So before we move on, does anybody have any questions or comments about that review? Okay, if not, I want to get into what he has to say about this. So he's going to start talking about this point down here, about using the questioning strategies of Columbo to go on the offensive in an inoffensive way in order to exploit a weakness or a flaw in somebody else's reasoning.
A weakness or a flaw, okay? So in the third use of Columbo, you can use it to advance a point, or if you see something wrong in somebody's point of view, you don't want to point it out directly, you want to use a question to get there if you can. Now again, you have to know what's wrong with their view, and how do you know that? Well, a lot of times it just requires you to concentrate, pay attention, and think about what's being said, and see if the things, we know what they think, and we know why they think it. We got to see whether those two connect. Are the reasons adequate to the task of the point of view that they're defending? Okay? That's the real issue here. Now, it may be that you don't know what's wrong. And again, then you're just going to have to just let it lie for the moment. But these are the kinds of things that we can learn in the books. Here is the place we put that book learning into play. Okay? There's no special formula here. You just got to be alert. All right? Listen carefully. Think about what was said. Okay? Once you've done that, once you've seen what the error happens to be, you want to try to exploit this error again by using Columbo, where you want to use a question. And this Columbo number three, it does take a little bit more practice than the others. But in time, you'll improve.
So I want to just stop it there just to give you one example, okay? I've told this story before about something that happened to me when I was sitting in the teacher's lounge one day. This was years ago. This was over 10 years ago at a previous job than the one I have now. I was sitting in the teacher's lounge, and the science teacher came in, and in front of the whole staff at lunch, the whole high school staff at lunch, he says to me, "Ross, don't you know that science is the only source of absolute truth?" This is what he says to me. And I'm like, thanks for that. And I can feel everyone now like staring at me, right? I mean, it's like they're staring at me. They're like, what is this guy going to say, right? So I kind of kept eating my lunch, and I'm thinking about, okay, what am I going to say? Now, I didn't really respond with a question, but what I said was, well, I guess I did respond with a question. All I said to him was, can you prove that to me scientifically? Okay, so he said, science is the only source of absolute truth. My response was, can you prove that to me scientifically? Okay? He got up, took his lunch, and left. And then when I asked the question, you could feel the energy in the room swing now to him. Right? Okay, well, what's he going to say? Right? And then he just sort of elected not to say anything. Right? But my point is, He tried to put me in the hot seat. He did put me in the hot seat. He wasn't trying to. He did put me in the hot seat. I felt like I had to say something, and so I chose to respond with a question, because I knew that as I thought through there, as I was sitting there eating and thinking through what he's saying, I realized that he can't prove this based upon what he's asserting. So the best way to do that is not to lead him to my own point of view, but to quickly do what? Exploit a weakness or a flaw in what he was saying. And once I did that, it was like that was the end of it. That literally, that was the end of it. He like never talked to me again, practically. But anyway.
Or you switched the burden of proof back onto him.
Exactly. And it was a simple question, swung it like that, and he was out. So I didn't have to do anything else. Okay. And not only did I have to not do anything else, but now everybody that was sitting in that room was like, what do you do about that, right? Okay. Now, and one guy, actually, after school that day, came up and asked me about that. So I was able to talk to him a little bit further. I didn't do it right there. But my point is, that's what he's getting at here. And he's going to give you some more illustrations.
It requires a little bit of insight. It isn't always easy, but you'll find yourself getting there as time goes on. So don't be discouraged, all right? Once you find a challenge or a flaw that you want to exploit, you want to get the parts on the table exactly the same way and use those pieces to make your point. Now, examples are the best way to learn this. So how about this? Somebody says you're intolerant. And this is the kind of thing, or you're bigoted, or you're narrow-minded, or whatever. This is the kind of thing that happens all the time in public conversation with people who don't like your point of view. And instead of dealing with the point of view, they just call you a name. Now, you might say it sometimes to the other person, look, ridicule is not an argument, which would be a fair thing to say. But in this particular case, we're going to respond by using what? Questions, okay? We're going to use our Columbo tactic. And when somebody calls you intolerant, the first thing that I recommend that you do, whenever they call you any name, is you ask them the first Columbo question. What do you mean by that? That is, what am I doing right now that makes you think that I'm somebody who has this vice called intolerance? And he says, well, you think you're right. And this is generally what's motivating this challenge. You think you're right, and you think everybody else is wrong. Okay, what do you think? Do you think that when I advance a point of view, do you think that I think I'm right? Of course I do. That's why I believe what I do. I believe it's true. If I didn't believe what I believe was true, I wouldn't believe it. I'd believe something else and think that was true instead. But I'm not the only one in this conversation that believes he's right, and that's the point I want you to get. He's getting on my case because I think I'm right, but guess what? That person thinks he's right too. And so now I have another question. Yes, I think I'm right, but I could be mistaken. I'm willing to say that, but let me ask you a question. Do you think you're right? What's he going to say? I'm wrong about everything I believe? No, he's going to say, yeah, of course I think I'm right. Now, once in a while, people will say, well, I think I'm right for me. You know, and they'll do that, the relativist two-step there. And if they say, well, I'm just right for me, then you say, well, then why are you talking to me right now? Sounds to me like you're correcting me. I'm doing something wrong. You got it right. I got it wrong. You want me to believe like you believe. So the fact is, he does think he's right. Okay, now I've got my third question. Okay, I know how this works. I've got it in my mind. I'm using questions to get to a point. He says, you're intolerant. I say, what do you mean by that? He says, you think you're right. Well, yeah, I do, but let me ask you a question. Do you think you're right? Yeah, of course he does. Here's my final question. Why is it that when I think I'm right, I'm intolerant? But when you think you're right, you're just right. What am I missing here? Now, I say that to him, but I'm not missing anything. I know what's going on here. He has reduced our conversation to common name calling. He is just calling me a name. He's calling me intolerant or bigoted or whatever it happens to be. And he's using that to substitute for reasonable conversation. What if I turned to him when he called me intolerant and I said, well, you're ugly and your mom dresses you funny. No, I wouldn't say that kind of thing because it's not polite and it's not on point. The guy could be really ugly and really right. It has nothing to do with it. Why am I going through this conversation with him this way? I'm trying to show him his flaw, that he is just simply resorting to name-calling to make a point, which is bad manners and bad thinking. And I want him to get back on the point. Whenever anybody shifts the conversation to attacking the person rather than attacking the point, you know they've made a mistake. And this is a mistake you can exploit with a little thoughtful advanced questioning and hopefully help that person to see where they're making their mistake. So there's one example of using Columbo number 3 to exploit a weakness or a flaw. Here's another one. This is on the abortion issue. I was at a conference many years ago. We had a table with products on it, and a gentleman came up to the table, a Christian. And he said, I believe personally that abortion is wrong. That's my personal belief. But I don't think we should be forcing that on other people. Okay? So this is called the modified pro-choice position, and you've probably heard politicians use this. Any so-called modification of the pro-choice position is always pro-choice, just to let you know. There is no such thing. Okay, but that's what they call this. Okay, I'm personally against it, but I think that I shouldn't be pushing my views on other people. Okay, so this is the place where you need to ask your first Columbo question. What do you mean by that? And what I said to that man in this particular case is, why are you personally against it? I need a piece of information there. Why are you personally against abortion? You say you're against it. Why are you personally against it? Here's what he said to me. He said, because I think abortion takes the life of an innocent human being. And that's why I would never have an abortion. Okay, so now I got what I needed. And here's what I said to him. Let me just repeat back to you what I thought I heard you say. And you tell me what you think of it. Okay? You actually believe that abortion kills an innocent human child. And you also think that women should be allowed to do this to their children. Is that right? Now, he started shuffling back and forth, and well, what he said was, well, if you put it that way, I said, put it what way? That's your view. Am I distorting it? If I'm distorting it, you let me know. But that's what I thought I heard. And that is what I heard. And that is his view, and that's why that kind of view, the modified pro-choice position, is barbaric. If you actually believe that abortion kills an innocent human being, why would you think anybody should be allowed to do that kind of thing? Why would you not enforce that kind of thing? So, what did I do? I used Columbo number 3. I was aware of a weakness. And because I was aware of the weakness, I could see how I wanted to get to my point that the so-called modified pro-choice position was a bad point of view. Okay? And then I asked some questions to help, actually to get him to help me get to this point. And he was stuck. He couldn't go any further. Now, did I corner him? Yes. Did I trap him? Yes. But it was completely legitimate. Okay, so that gives you an idea how to use Columbo, number 3, by using questions to make a point.
I was just curious, does anybody have any thoughts or comments about what he just said about using Columbo 3, going on the offensive in an inoffensive way to exploit the weakness or a flaw in somebody else's argument? Let me say this. This happens all the time. Attack the person, not the argument. Okay? When somebody, when they perceive that they are losing, for lack of a better term, they will resort to, well, you're an idiot, or you're stupid, or, you know, some other personal attack. Okay? In philosophy, we call those ad hominems. Right, where you switch from dealing with the argument as such that's on the table and responding to the argument, and you shift to attacking what? The person, right? You're stupid, you're intolerant, you're this, you're that, blah, blah, blah. Everyone who agrees with you is just an ignoramus, you know, whatever form of that. But this is what he's talking about, and this happens all the time. Attack the person, not the argument. So he's laid out two uses here for Columbo 3 to go on the offensive in an inoffensive way. Number one, to advance your own point of view. And number two, to exploit the weakness or flaw in somebody else's view. Before we go on with this, does anybody have any questions or comments or responses to what he said so far about Columbo 3? Going on the offensive in an inoffensive way. Phil? Oh, you look like you were going to say something. Sorry. Is everybody kind of getting what he's saying, though? Okay. And instead of being rude or direct, you ask a question, and it's set in a little bit of a different tone, and it might be easier for somebody to. Now, I can't remember if it's right now or in the next little segment he's going to get into. What do you do when you realize that somebody's using a Columbo tactic sort of thing against you? So
whether the point is your own point of view or the point you want to make is exploiting a weakness or a flaw. Now I want to talk for a few moments about how to improve your Columbo skill. How do you get better at this? I think the best way to improve your Columbo skills is to work on the challenges when the pressure's off. Now, when is the pressure going to be off? It's not when you're talking to somebody. That's the pressure is on. It's either going to be before or after. So that's going to give us some insight as to how to best improve. And I want you to think about three words. Anticipate. That is before your event, before your conversation, anticipate. Reflect. That's afterwards. And practice. Anticipate, reflect, and practice, or role play, if you will. In other words, what you want to try to do, in some cases, is to anticipate objections and think of questions in advance. I mean, maybe you've had some things that have stumped you. You've engaged with somebody before, and they just caught you by surprise. You haven't known how to respond to that issue. Well, figure out what the right response is. Do your research, find out a response to it, and now what you do is you figure out the right questions that will help you get to that point. Okay? Once you figure out the questions that will get you to that point, then do a little role play. Practice it out loud with somebody else, by yourself. I do it in the car all the time. I'm thinking, oh, well, what would he say to me? Well, he'd say this, but then I'd say this, but then he'd say that, then I would say this. And I'd ask him this question. I just practice it. Because if you're practicing it out loud, you're role-playing it, you're actually getting in the habit of using it. It'll be much more second nature next time around. Okay? So you might anticipate in advance. Sometimes you reflect afterwards. Sometimes you go into a situation and you come out and you think, oh my gosh, I made a mess of that. And you think to yourself, well, what question might I have asked if I was on top of things? I actually gave this teaching in the tactical teaching in a church once, and as I went into the foyer and I escaped underneath the prayer at the end of the service so I could be there when people were coming out, the first woman that came out said to me, I'm a Christian and I'm a Buddhist and I'm a pagan. That's what she said. Now remember, I just finished talking about Columbo tactic. So you're thinking, what question would he come up with for that challenge? Well, here's what I said. It sounds to me like you really don't understand those three religions. Is that a question? No, it's an insult. Now, fortunately, she didn't get bugged at me, but she might have. She said, well, I do think I understand those. And then I kind of got my wits about me, and then I asked the question. I should have asked it first. And that was, what do you think Jesus would say regarding your comment that she's a Christian and a Buddhist and a pagan? And she said to me, well, I think Jesus would be just fine with it. And then the crowd comes through and sweeps her away. Okay, so I recovered a little bit. Just to let you know, I make mistakes in this too. I'm in the process. But I recovered a little bit, asked a good question, but didn't have time for a follow-up. But I did think afterwards about what I might have asked. She said, I think Jesus would have been fine with that. Oh, okay, now what? Then I realized I could have asked this. Maybe you've already thought about it. Where in the Gospels can you point to where Jesus said anything that would give you that impression? Now, I know the Gospels have no place in them where Jesus would suggest such a thing. He's a Torah observant Jew. He was not a pluralist. He was the one who said, it's the narrow gate, not the wide gate. The narrow gate to salvation, the wide gate leads to destruction. Okay, so Jesus was narrow. But notice how I came up with that after the conversation was over. So I reflected back. So how do you improve your Columbo technique? Either you prepare in advance and then you role play it. That is, you figure out an answer to a challenge and the questions that will help you deal with the challenge and you role play it. Or you come off a bad performance, think about how badly you did, and then you ask yourself, well, what could I have done to improve under those circumstances? And then you offer that angle, but also by questions. Figure out the questions for that and then role play it. Okay? Now let me underscore the significance of practice. It increases your practical experience because you're actually going through the dialogue, but you're doing it in a safe environment. So try to anticipate maybe the turns or approach that your other person might take in conversation. Anticipate how you'd respond and what they might say in response, and then role play out loud if possible, and let the ideas sink in a little bit. And
two things about that. The first one is I've seen, it's a form of this. I've seen Nate do this on Facebook quite a few times, okay, where there's a discussion going and somebody is saying something that's kind of nuts or crazy. So what I've seen Nate say is, can you give me three pieces of research to consider that would prove that point? I've seen you do this, right? Okay. Do you know that almost every time that question is never answered? Okay, because what it's revealing is what? It's revealing that, I lost my spot. They probably don't know. Right? They probably don't know what, they probably don't know how, and they probably don't know why. They're just what? They're just repeating whatever they've heard said somewhere else, right? If you are engaging in that kind of a conversation with somebody, it's not rude or illegitimate to ask them, well, if what could I look at that would lead me to this conclusion? And most of the time, they're not even going to give you anything. Okay, they're not going to give you the three pieces of evidence or the top three books to read about that topic or whatever, because most of the time they don't have it. Do you want to elaborate on that at all?
Yeah, usually it's, I read an article, and it's a Facebook article, some non-published person was feeling, and they read that and decided, yep, that's my, I like that because it says there's no God or whatever else, so I'm going to repeat that, I'm going to regurgitate whatever I read, and there's usually never any substance behind what they say. I've done it probably a dozen times to people, and I do not get a response most of the time. If I do it in person, I might phrase it differently because they don't have time to respond to it. I might ask them, who do you think the leading expert in this field is that I could read their material and have you read their material? That way, I'm less on the spot for them and they can respond to something at least. But yeah, it works. It definitely works.
Any thoughts on that before I move on to the second one? Second one is, One of the things that I like to do as I'm studying something, especially the best example of this is when it comes to sort of thinking about the Bible issue, and I'm sure a lot of you know that, like, my thinking on the King James issue has been refined over the last few years as I've thought through it a little bit more. But one of the things I like to do is call my friends or talk to my friends, the guys who are not going to, like, say you're a stupid idiot, okay? And say, I have this idea, I have this thought, here's what I'm thinking, tell me why it's wrong, or tell me what somebody's going to say against it. What's that? That's practice. That's trying to anticipate what somebody might say or what somebody might be critical of before you're actually in the situation or circumstance, right? Now, you're never going to anticipate everything, okay? But you can work through a fair number of fairly sizable potential objections by doing something like that, right? So I'm bringing that up as an example of what he's talking about there as far as practice goes, okay? Thinking through. Now, how many of you will have an encounter with somebody, have a conversation with somebody, and then afterwards you'll think through, I said this, and they said this, and I should have said this, and you go through that sort of post-conversation processing of what just happened. Okay? That's this idea of reflection, right? So we all sort of do this, and what he's saying is, you know, to be a skilled ambassador is to get kind of intentional about this, right? To get kind of intentional about thinking through and anticipating, okay, what might somebody say against this view, this argument, this position, whatever it is, okay? Practice it. Call somebody who you know is going to be not immediately put off by what you're saying and so forth, and discuss it with them. And then when you feel like you're ready to go out there and actually engage on it, then you're going to have to do some reflection after the fact, right? So he's talking about getting sort of real intentional about thinking through, processing, anticipating, discussing, and kind of working through all that so that you can get what? You can get better at this, okay? And being sort of real intentional about it. Any questions or comments about that? Okay, so let's look at the next section.
if you practice in advance, when these issues come up, you'll be ready because you've already rehearsed your response to them. It really works. I mean, take my word for it. It really works. Now, it's the same way, by the way, political candidates prepare for televised debates, or comedians prepare for their spontaneous kind of funnies on talk shows. They come in and they go, how are these guys so funny when just at the drop of a pen? But that isn't the way it happens. It happens because they practiced in advance. So now I want to talk just towards the end here about how you can defend against Colombo, because I know some of you are thinking, this is a great thing. I can see how I can be in the driver's seat of the conversation. I can use these questions and really make progress. But what if somebody uses Colombo against me? All right. Now, we said there are three parts to Colombo. Colombo number one, gathering information. What do you mean by that? Do you think I'm afraid of that question? I'm not afraid of that question. I like telling people what I mean by that. And plus, I've given some thought to what I mean by that, so you shouldn't have any problem with Colombo number one. What about Colombo number two, the second use of Colombo, reversing the burden of proof? And the question is, how'd you come to that conclusion? Do you think I'm scared of that problem? No, I love it when people ask me how I came to the conclusion, because I have come to conclusions about things. I know the reasons why I believe, and so I'm not concerned about that at all. And neither should you be if you're a good student of Christianity. It's the third one you have to worry about, because sometimes Colombo number three can be used against you in a manipulative kind of way. That is, the other person is going on the offensive against you, and they're asking questions that you sense are meant to set you up or trap you so he can exploit what he thinks are weaknesses in your own view. Now, I encourage you to do this because I'm trusting your charity in doing it, that you're not doing something illicit or inappropriate, or you're not just trying to make them look bad. But you can't trust other people in the same way, because sometimes they're just trying to make you look bad. So how do you keep from being taken advantage of, I guess is the best way of putting it, in this situation? Well, here's what I suggest. First, you stop the advance, okay? You might say something like, well, you know, as he's asking questions and wants you to answer, and you're starting to wonder, is he leading me down the primrose path? You could say, you know, you're asking a lot of questions here, and sometimes it confuses me because I get the feeling that you don't really want to know the answers to the questions, but you just want to know, want me to kind of commit myself because you're going somewhere else. You're going to make a point down the line. And that makes me a little uneasy. So I'd rather not answer a lot of questions at this particular point, if that's okay with you. So the first thing you're doing is you're just stopping the advance. The second thing you do is you want to regain control. You want to get back in the driver's seat because he's in the driver's seat with his questions, right? So you want to get back in control, so you can say this to him. Why don't you just simply state your point? What do you mean by that? State it clearly so I don't misunderstand it, and then give me your specific reasons. That's Colombo number two. How'd you come to that conclusion for your view? See how flexible these questions are, okay? And then let me chew on it for a while and see what I think. Now, that's the way to protect yourself. It is very similar to getting out of the hot seat, but you're not quite in it yet. You just get in the feeling that he's asking these questions, and you're going to get in trouble if you are not careful. So then you just put a halt to it. You say, it seems like you're trying to make a point with the questions. That's kind of confusing for me. I'm not exactly sure how to respond all the time. But why don't you just make the point? Say what you mean and why you believe it, and that'll be fine, and I'll think about it. All right? So let's review what we've covered here in this session. First, we learned the third use of Colombo. We're going to use questions to make a
point. All right, so before we get into that, Nathan, you were the one that brought up a couple weeks ago the idea of people being perceptive or maybe be getting wise to what you're doing and then sort of the thing kind of unraveling or it being reversed against you, okay? Do you feel like what he said is sufficient to avoid that, or do you think he's missing something, or do we need to add something else?
I think you can do the first two in one step, simply by stopping them by asking one of the first two questions sets the advance. You know, question their question. You know, if they're just rattling on questions as fast as they can because they're trying to go somewhere with it and they're not really giving you adequate space to answer them, And you can tell they're going somewhere with this and they're not waiting for you to get there. Just picking a question and saying, oh, hold up, I didn't quite understand that last question. Are you saying this? And maybe you put some words in there to make them think about, like, oh, am I asking that or am I asking that? So you can do one and two in one step.
Okay. Any other thoughts on it?
And two, if we're going to use these things, we also have to allow them to. You know, if they're like, hold on, I've never thought about this stuff before, I need time to think about this, don't just keep pushing forward, you know. Maybe back up from that, try to talk about it some more. Don't just be rude, I guess.
So let me just say something about that. So in other words, it's highly likely that in this conversation that they're having with us as an ambassador of Christ, that they are also encountering potentially some new ideas, some new thoughts, some new things that maybe they hadn't considered before, right? And so if your objective in the conversation and in the engagement is not to every time bring this person to the point where they, you know, accept the gospel and get saved, but to put a stone in their shoe, then I think what Nate's saying has some merit to it, right? You want to allow them to think about what it is that you're saying. So if you have gone on the offensive in an inoffensive way to either advance your own point of view or exploit a weakness or a flaw, you have to acknowledge that maybe they're encountering something new or a different way of thinking that they hadn't considered before. Okay? That's kind of what you're saying, right? Did you have anything else you want to say about that? So, in the program, or not the program, the study guide that comes with the DVD, he actually has a cutout about this on page 77 under the title Ambassador Skills, okay? And he says, once you learn the Colombo tactic, you'll discover how ill-equipped other people are to answer for their own views. It's tempting once you see this happen to begin to take pleasure in another's failings. Therefore, take care to show concern. And this is what I think what you were just getting at, Nate. Take care to take concern for the other person. Establish common ground whenever possible by affirming points of agreement. Encourage the other person to think further on the subject if he or she doesn't have a satisfactory answer. Assume the best intentions you would like others to assume about you when you are the one being challenged. That's kind of what you were getting at, right? Okay. And then finally, as far as the ambassador skills, he also says, the advantage to using Colombo 3 is not having to assert something you want somebody else to believe in. You aren't taking the burden of proof on yourself. Instead, your questions make the point for you. This accomplishes your goal in an entirely different and often much more powerful way. Now, I've listened to hours over the years of Brother Jordan teach. Okay? One of the things he says all the time or very frequently is, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion what? Still. It is far better for you, for me as an ambassador, to allow that person the ability to think about it and be fully persuaded in their own mind, rather than to simply sign on the dotted line on something that they really don't know what they're signing up for, don't really understand, or are feeling somehow pressured to do it. Okay? Any feedback or thoughts on that? All right, so then we'll just finish this up. That's early.
Point, or to lead someone somewhere. We want to exploit a weakness or a flaw, or maybe make a point about our own point of view. Okay, I told you the way to do this is you're going to have to, in your own mind, know the point. You're going to have to solve the problem and know the pieces that you have that you need to get there. And as much as possible, it's not always going to be ideal to do this, but as much as possible, get them to put the pieces on the table by the questions that you ask, okay? You get that all on the table, and then you use those pieces that the person you're talking with helped put there, and you use those pieces to make your point. The second thing we learned was how to improve your Columbo skill. I gave you three words: anticipate, reflect, and practice. And these are very simple to keep in mind. Either before you anticipate the problems, or after you you take a look at what you've done and reflect on how badly you did. In either of those cases, the pressure's off, so you can work on those issues and then work on the questions that can get you where you want them to take you. And then role play it. This is really important. And the more you role play it, the more natural it's going to become. And then finally, we learn how to defend against the Columbo tactic when it's used against you. The first question of Columbo, you shouldn't have to worry about it. The second question of Columbo, you shouldn't have to worry about it. But the third one, where they're using questions to lead you, then you want to stop the advance. You want to say, well, why don't you just make your point and let me respond to it. So you're stopping the advance, then you're regaining control by asking him to change his approach, but still giving him a chance to make his point, okay? So that's how that works. Now, I want you to do some homework before your next session. Here's what I want you to do in the next few days or week, whatever. I want you to find a friend or two, and I want you to teach them the basics of Columbo 1, 2, and 3. You know it's not that hard. I've already given it to you. You've got notebook right there you can use. Let them know what you're learning, how it's helping you, and explain to them the basic facts. Walk through them as best you can. And encourage them to just start using Columbo number 1 to get used to it, gathering information. And they can do that for a week or two to get kind of rolling. And if you teach it to them, I guarantee you, you're going to learn it better for yourself. Now, in our next session, we'll learn one good way to discover a certain type of weakness or a flaw. I call that tactic the suicide tactic, and we'll talk about it then.
All right, so a couple points there. The first one is what he said is true, right? So we've spent 5 Sundays now, 5 classes going through the basics of the Columbo tactic, okay? Going through the first